Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, listeners, Kevin and I need your help.
Yes, we need your help. Please, please, please. We need your stars. We need your reviews, you guys, on iTunes so we can start to climb those iTunes rating charts.
It's simple. Open iTunes, click on the iTunes store, search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
Then click on ratings and reviews. Under the customer reviews, click write a review. Then let us know what you think from 1 to 5 stars.
If you need some help, think of 1 star being Carol Channing and Paul Lynn in the Road Company of the last 5 years, and 5 stars being free front row tickets to Hamilton. Although, when you think about it, I actually would give 5 stars to the Road Company of Carol Channing and Paul Lynn in the last 5 years, because I think that would be awesome.
I would love to hear, can I hear Moving Too Fast as Paul? that's the one I really want.
She's a Shakespeare goddess. Been through Erica Schwartz and Danica Weiss and the Handelman twins.
So there you go. You can also leave a comment if you like.
That's it. That's
your reviews.
It.
Send us your reviews, friends.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this is Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Curtain. And make sure to join our Facebook page at Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
And maybe follow us on Instagram at Broadway Curtain Podcast. Plus, you can always listen to our podcasts on Broadway World and Stitcher.
Ooh, Stitcher, we're moving up in the world. Since 1960, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of young sopranos have been singing much more. But no one sings it better than today's guest because she is the one who sang it first.
That's right.
And is the best at it,
I'll say. Geez.
Thank you.
And if originating as if originating the role of the girl in Fantastics wasn't enough, she is also known to audiences as the hip-hopping grandmother in the musical version of The Wedding Singer. Plus, she has been seen on Broadway in On a Clear Day You Can See Forever, Ben Franklin in Paris, and Last of the Red Hot Lovers, just to name a few.
Oh, my heavens. Wow.
To tell us what it was like to stand by for Barbara Harris, work with John Kander, and to tell us all about her new show, Much More, a tribute to Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt, here to prove that her wish came true when she said, please, God, don't let me be normal.
I'm still saying it.
It's the beautiful and wonderful Rita Gardner.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Rita. Thank you, Kevin.
Oh, we are so happy to have you here, Rita.
Happy to be here.
So, Rita, let's start at the beginning. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Brooklyn.
All right, a New Yorker.
I'm a New Yorker.
All the way
through
around.
And through. We're in Brooklyn.
Crown Heights.
Oh, Crown Heights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, was your family involved in the arts?
Nobody there. I mean, nobody can sing. Nobody has ever been an actor in my family. No. They sing off key.
So where did you get this from?
I have no idea. I don't know. I never found that out. No.
Did you grow up going to see shows on Broadway? Do you remember your first show
that
you
saw? Well, when I was about 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever, I sang on the radio at 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
On WHN. And so I sang. I was always a singer, I guess. That's what I'm told. I don't quite remember it all, but my brother does. So he fills me in sometimes.
Of course, of course.
Yeah. Older brother, right?
Older brother, yeah.
Fills you in. When you were singing on this radio program, were there any songs that you specifically remember singing, or you were just...
And then I sang on Coast to Coast on a Bus. I was on a radio show called Coast to Coast on a Bus that Milton Cross was the host, the opera...
Yeah.
The guy, yeah.
Well, what was it called? Coast to Coast?
Coast to Coast on a Bus. And we sang coast to coast on a bus, beep, beep, along the highway, through every byway. That's what we sang every week.
Beep, beep.
I like that song.
Yeah. Yes, I thought I'd put it in my show, but not this one.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Oh, so,
and it was thrilling because if you couldn't get to a show, I mean, we couldn't afford that. Yeah. So you could afford whatever it was I paid at that time. And saw all those great people.
Did you like popular music? Would you listen to the popular music?
Oh, I sang on Coast to Coast. I sang pop stuff.
But were there any singers or songwriters that you really, really liked?
I liked the old one. Richard Rodgers. Rodgers and Hart. And I knew Richard Rodgers.
That was the popular music of the time, too.
Yeah,
Rodgers and Hart.
And Richard Rodgers came to see the Fantastics.
Oh?
Oh, he did. And his limousine was bigger than the block, because I tell you
a limousine to go see Fantastics.
He took a limousine with his wife.
You better take a limousine.
And then he took me out to a restaurant. And they were playing all that Richard Rodgers music.
And he didn't really know him. He was like, I'm taking out Louisa. Like,
No. I did know him because I grew up with his music. I knew all of his songs.
Did he know you beyond what he had just seen?
No, he just saw me in the show and he said, come on, we're taking you to dinner.
So
that's what happened.
Would you get intimidated? Did you get intimidated?
Well, when he ordered shrimp, I said, what is that? Because I never had it. He said, you'll love it, Rita. I said, okay, I'll try it. No, he was lovely. Oh, absolutely lovely.
That is so wonderful. It's so exciting when you get to meet one of your mentors or one of your inspirations. Yeah.
Well, yes,
say.
I mean, the best. Hello. And of course, I mean, Gershwin, Kern. All
oh, sure. Oh, I'm going to put you on the spot if that's okay.
Of course.
Here we go. Your favorite Richard Rodgers song.
He was too good to me. Oh. How can I get along now? That's my favorite.
That was what
I love that song.
See?
It's honestly one of my favorite. That melody is so beautiful.
Gorgeous.
And that people forget. I mean, people don't know that song as well, that Rodgers and Hart.
No.
That's amazing.
So now you went to high school for the performing arts.
Yeah.
You graduate. And then what's the next step for you?
Well, I had a lot of jobs. See, I was always working, doing something.
In addition to your studies?
Well, yes, absolutely. But when I graduated, I was still working. And then I decided it's time to go to school. My parents said it's up to you because I could get into Brooklyn College. I guess I had the grades at that time. It was a city college. And so I was in Brooklyn College, but I had about 9 jobs. So I would go to different classes and fall asleep.
Like, what were some jobs that you had?
Well, I was singing with a band. Uh-huh. I was a dental assistant. I can now read x-rays. I'm very good at that.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. Whatever I could get to pay me, you know, I mean, whatever jobs I could get to pay me. And, when I was a young kid, I was on Let's Pretend and all those places, too.
What's Let's Pretend?
Let's Pretend was a radio show. All these, you know, at the time when I was growing up, there were all these radio shows.
Yeah,
right.
That's what people listened to, the radio, you know, quote, unquote.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I like the name.
So there was quite a market for that.
Yeah,
podcasts today.
Exactly.
Really.
I mean, exactly.
So that's what people were.
What we're doing.
You know, and I was on this radio show called Coast to Coast, and then I was on a television show. I was with a jazz quartet called the Honeybees, and Dave Lambert did our first record.
Oh.
And it was Moon Glow. My God, who remembers all of this?
Yeah, I'd like to find that record, please. Anybody out there,
please
find
Moonglow. I don't think I have it, but my friend Margie Gray might have it. I don't know, but we were a jazz quartet, too. I mean, you did everything, it seems.
And where did you end up going to a college? Did you end up going to Brooklyn
College? I went to Brooklyn College, and then I was in school about a year and a half or 2 years, and I was in this English class, and I think Jocasta's from Odysseus, or
yes,
right? So I had read that before because, you know, that's what I did. So the teacher said, my name is Rita Shire. So he said, Miss Shire, you stand up and read Jocasta's speech, and you can't fall asleep, please, because he was very upset at me. So I said, oh, okay. So when I was a kid and I had all these lessons, I was taught to read, you know, cold, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do radio, you read cold. So I read it cold. And He applauded, and so did the class, and he said, don't stay here. Don't stay in class. Don't stay in college. Just go out and act. And that's exactly what happened. He called my mother and said, oh, she has to act. Get her out of school.
What a great teacher. Wow. What, do you remember his name?
No.
But what a great teacher.
Yeah, I'll say.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it was a surprise, but, well, yeah, but rather than fall asleep, he said, why don't you get on the stage?
So what, how did you do that? What was, so like, you're like, I all
auditioned,
right, fine.
I think I auditioned for everything.
You did?
You know, everybody auditioned for everything. I mean, one half of the world is auditioning for the other half, isn't
Amen.
It? So you... You know about that.
Did you have, like, other than He Was Too Good, was there a song that was, like, sort of your standard audition song?
Well, when I went to sing...
Since Much More had not been written
No,
yet.
I auditioned for The Fantastics. Well, that's... I guess I told that, and because I have a show called Try to Remember.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I did tell that story, and it's really true. I came home from a funeral, and I said, I've got to get a job. It was so upsetting. So I looked in Variety, and they were auditioning for The Fantastics. And I thought it was a review. I had no idea. And I called Laurie Noto, and he got on the phone. And I talked and talked and talked. He said, you know, I like your voice. We really know who we want, but why don't you come and audition? I said, okay. So I brought Over the Rainbow, because I sang that song, uh-huh. And I sat and I waited and I walked in, and because I was very lucky, I knew how to sight sing. So I sang something from The Fantastics, I think, I don't know if they were you, something that yeah. Harvey gave me, and they kept calling me back and back and back, and so I got the job. Yeah. But I didn't expect it, I really didn't, and it was just an accident.
Wow.
And I always tell students, because I do teach.
Yes.
And I say, you know, everything is an accident. As Ruth Gordon says, you work hard, you put in that time, and you never face the facts.
That's so good.
Excellent quote.
Yes.
So do me a favor, if you don't mind. Would you be so kind as to tell our listeners, what was auditioning for theater like in the 1950s? Because now it's totally different in the 2010s, the way you would go and audition for a musical.
Well, they were more sopranos around. Now you have to belt. I mean, that's really one of the things. And since I don't belt, I was a soprano and I sang songs.
And rapper. You're a rapper, too.
And a rapper, too.
Before it became popular in Hamilton.
That I had to learn. But, you know, you... And by the way, the interesting thing, I think, is that because I realized at a certain time that there were no shows that had sopranos, certainly my age.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm very pragmatic about that. I'm a certain age. And there were no shows. So I decided that at one point, you know, I said, I have to get back to doing plays, and I did. And that's really what I've been doing. I did I Remember Mama, mm-hmm. and then I did it just this past June and July at the Two River Theater.
Yes, yeah. And got excellent reviews, by the way.
Absolutely, wonderful, wonderful show, and it was very well done, very yeah. good actresses. We played all the parts. We were a certain age. Yeah. So, you know, when you go to the theater, I don't see that anymore. But you have to nest in the gale, as Margaret Mead says, because you have to see what's, you know, happening and try to be part of it at least. I see that, and so I audition. That's my middle name.
And do you like the process of auditioning?
No.
Don't like it?
No, because what are they looking for? What do they want? You know, as an actress, you always go, oh, my God, what am I doing here? I don't want to be here.
And you've had a very wonderful career, but that never goes away, the what am I doing here, what do they want from
no,
me?
No, it's always there. Absolutely. Why would you be an actor? You, I mean, it's always that part of you that says, I feel like 5 years old again.
Totally.
What piece of wisdom would you like to impart on people that are just entering this business?
I think I keep quoting things. Hamlet says the readiness is all. Am I right about that?
Yes.
I think you have to know your craft because so many things happen. And you have to know how to handle yourself in the theater. And, you know, now you have to know how to do a movie. I mean, what does that take? Mm-hmm. It's not a big voice, but you still have to have an emotional life and be real. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to know your craft. Always keep oiled. Because you can meet someone on the street and they say, gee, you're right for this. And when you're not oiled, that's when you get into trouble.
Mm. How do you stay oiled?
I take classes all the time. I take singing lessons. I go to a gym. I have an acting class. We did pieces of Pinter, and that's going to be done again.
That's awesome.
And you don't think about it, but it gives you joy. Mm. What gives you joy, and what is your passion? Passion is very important. You only get one choice, really, in life. You have someone you love, hopefully, but you have one choice when it comes to what you love to do. So you have to look at that very carefully.
That is beautiful. And that's a great piece of advice to pass on to the next generation of performers.
Absolutely. I mean, it just, and when I see it, when I teach and I see it, I go, ah, that one I know is going to be good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get to know.
That's beautiful.
And then you look at yourself.
When you were auditioning for the Fantastics, we'll go back to the Fantastics a second. When you were auditioning for the Fantastics, did you realize that you were working on something that was going to turn out to be so monumentally huge? Did you know what you were working on was special?
I always thought it was special because I was the only girl.
That's the right answer, Rita. That's the right answer.
That's always the best. And it had Jerry Orbach. It had Kenneth Nelson.
Yeah.
And Tom Jones did the old actor.
Yeah.
And we had Word Baker. And it was fun. And if it was a good day, we worked longer than we did when it wasn't a good day. And it was like the French, you know, you come in and you start rehearsing and Word would say, this is, let's go home. And then the next day would be great and you'd stay later because there were no rules.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about 1960.
Yeah.
Going back, though, to the Fantastics for a second, like you had mentioned earlier, which was the staging of the show was so unique because most musicals at that time were very literal. And
they're literal now, too, believe me.
And they are very literal now.
Yes.
I recently took a group of students to see The Fantastics. And it is still so moving and so inventive and so creative. In the rehearsal process, were you all part of creating or did Mr. Baker have a very clear idea of this is the way it's going to be?
No, we improvised a lot of stuff.
You improvised a lot.
And then he said, that works, that doesn't. And then he said, try this. Everything was easy. We didn't know we were going to be in a hit, you know, or a show that's lasted over 50 years. Yeah. We were just doing a show.
Yeah.
And we got $1.40. I mean, God knows we didn't get a lot of money.
Right.
So, and then I knew, I said, and I do talk about it. You know, we did a 12 midnight preview.
Oh.
That was the first preview.
A midnight preview.
Yes, we did.
A midnight show.
And who came but my ex-husband and Charles Nelson Reilly.
Nice.
So, because my ex-husband had said it'll never amount to a thing.
And very quickly, would you mind telling our listeners who your ex-husband was?
Herb Gardner. He was a playwright.
Yes.
And a very talented one.
Right.
But he didn't think that it would last. Or he didn't think, what is this that you're doing? And Charles said, of course it's wonderful. And in 12 minutes, he had 8 songs.
That's like totally, I can like hear him saying that. I mean, like, it's
8 songs.
We love Charles Nelson Reilly on this podcast.
The best. We used to go to auditions. I played his agent. He played mine. What? We were
really.
I've known him for a long time.
Wait, what do you mean?
And I loved him, but he knew everything. Oh, please. Charles was very astute.
He taught opera history.
He did everything.
Nobody knew more about opera.
Oh my God, he really loved it. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really, really fun.
We heard he was like kind of this Renaissance man. I mean, more than just being a singer actor. I mean,
nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was remarkable. And he introduced me to Roberta Peters, who became a friend.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, I loved her. And I guess one of the most thrilling things I ever did was singing with her. She was asked to sing at the Eugene O'Neill. They were having a big benefit. And she said, I can't sing an hour, Rita. I mean, so I'll sing some things, you'll sing some things, and then we'll sing together. And it was thrilling.
Oh my God.
That was thrilling.
Wow.
And I love her. She's a special lady.
Oh, wow.
This role that you created has been embodied by so many young actresses.
Oh, my God.
It'll continue to be embodied by young actresses way beyond any of our lifetimes. What pieces of advice would you give a young actress that's about to play the girl for the first time in The Fantastic?
I do say that it's you keep it simple.
Simple.
You know, that's what it is. And it didn't get good reviews. You knew that, didn't
yes.
you?
Oh, yeah.
Cute, adorable, right?
Yeah.
Walter
mm-hmm.
Kerr. So Laurie Noto, because I wouldn't have gotten the part if it weren't for Laurie.
He was the producer on it?
Yes. Yep. And I came in after talking mm-hmm. to him, and he said, you're the girl.
Right.
That's what he said to me immediately before I sang.
And did you say originally that they had another girl in mind for this role?
Oh, yes, they did. She's still crying, I'm sure.
Oh, God, I love it so much.
I mean,
it's so good.
I mean, she was sitting there. Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
And you know, and I think they wanted Susan Watson also because yeah. she hadn't gotten Bye Bye Birdie.
That's right.
Yeah.
But she got Bye Bye Birdie, and I'm very thankful that she did.
Yes.
You know.
Good for her and great for you.
Yes.
Even better.
So then, after The Fantastics, your first Broadway show is A Family Affair. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
Now, can you tell us who wrote the music for A Family Affair?
John Kander.
And this cast, this cast of A Family Affair is like a who's who, because it's Linda Lavin.
Yes,
is in
she
it.
Was marvelous.
Shelley Berman, Eileen Heckert.
Larry Kurt,
yes. D.B. Osterwald.
Yes.
I mean, this is
yes.
a group
yes.
of people.
Yes.
Catherine Damon, would you do me a favor? Would you tell us a little bit about what exactly was A Family Affair about?
Marriage, getting married. This is about two families, mm-hmm. and I was the girl in the one family, and Larry was the guy in the other.
Wow.
So that, and it wasn't very easy, and I don't know if you know this, but it was very sad for me because I guess some things didn't work, and so Word was asked to leave, and Hal Prince took over. That was the first job
so
as a director.
Word was the director.
Yes.
Who had directed Fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, that I did
and
not
know.
And
then Hal yes. took over.
And then Hal took over, and I loved Hal. But I remembered the first day he came to rehearsal, and I was crying because, oh, my goodness. And he said, it's okay. We'll work it out. And he was so kind, and I've always remembered that about him.
That is so sweet.
Very.
And this was one of his first big, if not
that
the
was
first.
The first.
This was the first show we ever directed on Broadway, yeah. Sorry.
Wow. No. So
said it. Yeah.
That was the first one.
Yeah.
And Shelley, is he still alive?
I think Mr. Berman has passed.
Very difficult.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
very, very difficult.
Fact.
He
yeah.
made life difficult.
What made him so difficult as a...
Perfect. I don't know because I didn't know Shelley Berman. I mean, I knew that Charles told me a very funny story. I said, who is this man that's, you know, I mean, he's not done a show before, but he was so difficult to work with. He said, Rita, when I was studying with Uta Hagen, Uta and Herbert had their first place was on 26th Street, I think, the first school. And I mean, I think Geraldine Page was there and Jason Robart. I mean, a lot of very famous, wonderful actors. And Uta would assign scenes. And Shelley Berman was in the class. So Charles would say, everyone said, well, I'm working with this one, I'm working with this one, I'm working with... Never would they work with Shelley Berman.
No one would.
But that Shelley. Started his career as a monologist because
yes.
then he started writing monologues because no one would do a scene with him.
Oh, that's really funny.
That's
really
funny.
What I was told. And I said, I understand that. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Tell us what it was like working with Eileen Eckert.
What can I say? And I say this because what an actress, right? So she got this part in a musical. She'd never done a musical, but she had auditioned and she got the part.
Right.
But she didn't realize there's 8 performances where you really have to sing and you really have to know some music. You have to be musical. And she found this very, very difficult, and I don't blame her. So she left, I think, rather early because it was very difficult for her. She didn't understand it. I mean, unless you do a musical, you don't understand what that takes.
Exactly.
I mean, Ethel Merman said, I lived like a nun. You know, you go, you went home and slept and came back and did a show. You know,
and you had to do the same thing as well.
Absolutely. I did.
Family Affair does not last very long, unfortunately. No, but this company, my God, this cast.
Yes, and William Goldman?
Yes, yeah.
And Jim? Jim?
Yeah.
They wrote the book.
The Goldman Brothers.
Yeah. The Goldman Brothers wrote the book and wrote the lyrics.
And what was it like working with John Kander?
Oh, I thought he was marvelous. And I think that this, I don't know if he remembers it, and I don't know if you really want to put it. I'll tell you the story. I mean, my God. They were always doing jigsaw puzzles or whatever because they'd never worked on a musical. So one day, I guess Johnny was, you know, it was upsetting. The whole thing was upsetting. So I said, Johnny, once you get a lyricist, you'll be a star. So at 12 o'clock one day at midnight when I was living on the Upper East Side, he said, do you want to hear my coloring book? That was the one that Barbara Streisand did, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
And he played it for me and he said, I'm working with Fred Ebb. And we just did this and I wanted you to hear it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That is so lovely.
Yes. The nicest, the loveliest. And I don't know if you want to use that.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I think that's gorgeous.
Because he was a very kind man. And all I'm saying is that, I mean, Bill Goldman has gone on to do many things, and so has Jim, and they were talented. But the other thing is they had never written a book for a musical or lyrics.
Do you think that's what the issue with the show was? Yeah. Do you think we might ever see a revival or maybe an encore?
It's a wonderful show. Maybe someone can redo it or something. Maybe encores. I don't know. There's some wonderful things.
Oh, at least there's an album, at least. You can hear the song.
Oh, yeah. There's a wonderful album.
I really love that album.
It's terrific. And John, you hear the talent.
Yes.
You hear
the talent, the wonderful talent. And I think had they had maybe more money or they could take it on the road for a little bit longer and get help, it would have run a long time.
You next do Pal Joey.
Oh, my God, with Bobby Fosse.
Bobby Fosse.
Yeah, who was your pal, Joey?
Yeah. Fosse.
Bobby Fosse.
I love it.
Bobby Fosse. And that was oh, my God. She's not here, thank goodness. That was Vivica Lindfors, and she had the same problem.
She'd
never done a musical.
Who? Vivica Lindfors
is an actress.
Right there, yeah.
Oh,
who played Vera.
God. Oh, Vera, yeah.
And it. So that was Linda. Also yeah. very difficult.
And you also had Kay Medford.
Oh, she's marvelous.
Yeah. Best known to many people as Albert Peterson's mother from Bye Bye Birdie.
Yeah.
Tell me what... So now this is very interesting. This is Bob Fosse on stage, not off stage,
yeah,
on
he's
stage.
Playing
but he redid the
Joey. Yeah.
Well, he played Joey, and then he choreographed the dances. You know?
He choreographed his own dances or...
The whole thing.
The whole thing. Okay, yeah. My gosh. What's it like sharing a stage with Bobby Fosse? My God, I've never heard him referred to as Bobby.
We sang If They Asked Me, I Could Write a Book, mm-hmm. remember?
Yeah, well, yes, you were his love interest.
And everybody was singing with the orchestra, and there was no time to rehearse this song because Bobby was doing a dance number. And so Bobby said, I'm not going to do the dance number. I know this dance number. Let's sing this song because Rita needs to rehearse.
Oh, wow.
Sounds like Fosse.
I mean, you're bringing back so many memories.
My goodness.
And he did that. So that I always remembered Bobby. He was terrific. And I said, Mr. Fosse, don't yell at me because he would, you know, they yell at dancers, choreographers.
Yeah.
At that time, and he said, no, I'd never do that. He was cute. Nice man.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy... Now, this is really fun. Did you enjoy working in these larger environments? So what I mean by that is you were just on The Fantastics, which was off-Broadway in a nice, intimate theater. Did you enjoy playing Broadway? Did you enjoy playing something that was more commercial?
I loved it. because it was Broadway, and yeah. that was the thing I knew. You know, I always wanted to do a Broadway yeah. show. Sure.
Speaking of Broadway shows, do you want to ask about one of your favorites?
Ben Franklin in Paris. Yes.
Ben Franklin and in Paris?
Yes.
Well, that's another show that I replaced Susan Watson. Yep. She was in it, and then I came in it. And another great guy was Bob Preston.
Oh, Robert Preston.
Mr. Harold Hill
that's
from The Music
right.
Man. Tell us what it's like working with Robert Preston. What's
he
like-
would come in, and I had a dance. No, I'm not a dancer. So, and he was very tall. And he said, let's work on this. And he came in and rehearsed with me and sent me dozens of roses.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
Oh, my God. He was great. Yes.
So what was Ben Franklin in Paris about?
Ben Franklin in Paris.
And we move
Good
on.
Good job, Rob. Good job, Rob.
Thank you.
And we move on from there.
Yes. And he was brilliant in the role.
Did you yeah. mind replacing?
Did I mind? I think at that time I was happy to work. Later on, when I had a standby, I needed a job. I did standby for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I didn't like it because there was no time to rehearse. I mean, yeah. I went on for Franny Sternhagen, what was it, 5 or 6 years ago? I don't remember. And there was no time to rehearse The Foreigner. Do you know? I mean, there was
right.
no time. This is a play, a very difficult play yeah. with Matthew Broderick. I'd never worked with him. And I had to go on immediately. I mean, she was ill. Mm-hmm. And there's no time to rehearse. I didn't, that was very difficult. So I think later on, no, I didn't like
later
it.
Later on, no. And then, you know, you stand by for Barbara Harris, right?
Oh, yes, I did.
So, you know, having gone from the girl in The Fantastics to then a nice big role in Family Affair, then your pal Joey, are you okay standing by at that point?
Well, they were paying me well, but I said, Jesus, I'd love to go on for this show. I did it in stock afterwards. But she never got sick till after I left, so that was that was the end of that. But I did do it with Gig Young, and I did it with a couple of other people
in stock.
Yeah,
were you doing stock?
Sure, everyone
during
did
this
stock.
Time. Yeah.
Absolutely, you know the stock that they did all.
Stars
the,
were doing. I mean, like everyone. Yeah,
everyone did stock.
What's, yeah. what's the theater you like?
Oh, Kenley.
Yes,
in Ohio.
I did it.
You did. What's his name? Is he you know dressed as a woman too? But yes. like he John Kenley is that his name?
Yes,
Kenley. Yes,
yes. And I did 1776 with Joel Grey.
What? Joel was John Adams?
Yes, he was. And
okay.
we did it at the
yes.
Kenley. Yes, in
at
Ohio.
The Kenley.
Oh my God! Did you? So
oh
you. You did the Kenley. You did that.
Yes, but I did 1776 on Broadway. And so then they, you know, they asked me to do the Kenley Players. And so, of course, I did it.
Oh, my gosh.
With Joel Grey.
That's very cool.
Wild.
That's very, very cool.
And,
okay.
And so that was all summer.
You did know? You enjoy? What was it like working with Barbara Harris?
I didn't work with
or
her.
Or at least observing her process, I should say. Because she fascinates us and she fascinates a lot
yeah,
of our listeners.
She kind of like, yeah.
Brilliant. I think she's a brilliant lady.
Yes.
And so when she was doing this part, well, the one thing Burton Lane said, because she said, why would I sing What Did I Have That I Don't Have? A girl who really doesn't speak that way. And she did it wonderfully. And Burton Lane said, I don't know if you want to put this in, but he said, Barbara, it's going to be a hit.
Just sing it. Just sing the song.
Did you have a lot of interaction with Mr. Lane or Mr. Lerner?
The composer and the writer?
Well, Mr. Lerner was always going to somebody's funeral or wedding. So, and he, the best. I mean, you know, you read his book, On the Street Where I Live. I mean, he was one of the best lyricists. And Burton Lane, I got to know,
yeah.
So I liked them both. And the show kind of worked, I guess, but it was never really a true hit. It was
right.
Bridie Murphy, and
oh, yeah.
you know, it was, it never coagulated, as it were.
And, yeah. and if those of you are wondering, if you, in case you don't know, On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever, you could say it's the ESP musical. You
yes.
know, it's essentially about, you know, going back and finding your alter life, your previous life, and having
yes,
a
reincarnation,
yes,
right?
But it wasn't together. Do you know what I mean? It
yeah.
just didn't
yeah.
happen. And there were some wonderful songs that were cut out that I still
oh,
had.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Cozy and Tush. I still have the music to that. And it took place, I mean, and the character, you know, goes back in time. And they never could get that.
Yes.
I mean, it was difficult. John Cullum took the lead, I know.
Yeah.
And, what's his name, either was fired or left, or I don't remember.
I think it was Louis Jordan.
That's right, it was.
Who was on the road, and then they said, bye-bye.
You always do that.
I do.
You're like, I think it's so-and-so. You know,
I think,
you
well,
know
you don't
it
know,
is.
You know
you're right.
Know.
Yes, I thought he was terrific.
Yeah.
He was, but yeah. I don't know what happened there. You know?
Got it. You know, we don't really talk a lot about plays on our podcast, mm-hmm. But I do have to talk about Last of the Red Hot Lovers, because I think it's such a funny play.
Yes,
it is. And you got to work with, I'm assuming, an actor who I really, really love, and that's James Coco.
Oh, he was adorable.
I don't think a lot of our younger listeners might know who James Coco is, but I'm gonna go so far as to give this analogy, if that's okay. You have to think the Nathan Lane of the 60s.
Very good.
And 70s.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Very funny, very witty. And when I went on, I think it was for Linda, or was it Rita Moreno? I don't remember. But I think I went on for Linda. Because wasn't Linda Lavin?
Yes, Linda Lavin, yeah.
I think I went on for her, but it was very fast.
Of course.
And so I was doing the part, and Jimmy Coco was so sweet, but he, you know, he was nervous. I had never worked with him.
Yeah.
And Linda was wonderful, and she was. That every time I spoke, he would speak with me. I mean, he said my lines under his breath. And so I don't think he realized that. And I said, Mr. Coco, I think I can do this. And he said, oh, yes, you can. Okay.
Oh,
so he was adorable.
How sweet.
Yeah.
How very, very sweet. Yes. Oh, I love that.
He was lovely.
Now, do you want to ask about...
Yeah.
Our list here, a show that fascinates us, because we don't know all that much about it, but we've heard many stories.
What was Ari?
Ari. Oh, my goodness, Ari.
Yeah.
I stood by in that, too. Oh, my
It was an original
goodness.
Musical from, like, yes. 1971.
Yes, and Constance Towers. I stood by
Connie
for...
Connie Towers.
I look like a walking bodice, because she... She was so tall, and I was so short.
Oh, my goodness, that's amazing.
It was so crazy. And David Cryer,
David Cryer.
He was in it.
He was Ari.
Yes,
he was Ari. He was the title role.
When I there's a song, I once did something in I did nightclub stuff or whatever.
Yeah, yes.
And Ken Friedman, and I will say his name, was this wonderful writer who said, you should do your medley of mistakes. He's a brilliant
That's
writer.
Brilliant.
Your medley of mistakes.
Yes. So I had to sing the song that I sang in Ari that was probably one of the worst songs you ever heard.
This is the musical version of Exodus,
yes,
correct?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to say that again.
Yes.
The musical version of Exodus.
Oh, my God. I forgot all about that.
Oh.
But I remembered when I was singing the song from Ari, if I could ever remember it.
Oh, gosh.
This medley of mistakes, it was a wonderful piece that he wrote, because there were many shows that I had to do the wrong song.
Yeah.
Everyone else had the good songs.
And right. And you had like the skip song.
Yes.
Yeah, you had the skip song.
So that really was I don't know if that, did that come in or that's your last?
No, according to our notes, it did come in.
Did
you
come
were
in?
At the now defunct Mark Hellinger Theater.
Oh, wow, yes.
The Hellinger.
You played 12 previews and 19 performances and then we went away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It was very short.
And I think you were okay with that. Is that right?
I was so happy to get out of that. Oh, that was because I said to Constance Towers, she had to go home New Year's Eve and sing with Guy Lombardo or somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, she's going home and I have to go on for her.
You work so fluidly between musicals and plays. And voiceover work, you're a very successful voiceover artist.
Well, right now it's hard because everybody everybody wants to do them.
Yeah.
But I did Dora the Explorer, so that's
oh,
really
nice.
Wonderful.
Who are you in Dora the Explorer?
I did Joan Rivers for them. And then I was the grandmother, so they said,
that's what
we want. I did it over the phone, so they said, I said, let me try that.
That's so wonderful. So you can just do it from the comfort of your own living room.
I didn't realize it, but my agent said you're going to do it on the phone. Yeah. Well, a lot of voiceover people do set it up in their apartments now.
I do know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do that.
Yeah. You have a list of questions, right? Is that right?
No, we're just
gonna fire questions at you.
What? How? You know, after your career has spanned many different facets,
yeah.
How do you stay motivated? How do you stay active in it? You know, because jobs just don't fall in our laps as performers.
Never.
You know, we have to. You know,
I take classes,
and that is such a good. I think it's so refreshing to hear. You say that out loud,
yeah.
You constantly are challenging yourself.
Or read another play or say, listen, this is interesting. Yeah. I mean, that's how we did Pieces of Pinter. And then I take singing lessons every week.
Right.
The classes refuel you.
Yes, absolutely.
They give you a jolt.
And then I have to. If you don't take singing lessons, this is a blind art to sing.
Right.
So if you don't take singing lessons, if you let it go for a long time, then your voice can go.
Right.
And if you start squeezing the vocal cords, it goes forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to really be aware of that.
Were there certain transitions throughout your career? Were there any times in your career that you thought, man, I don't know if I need to do this anymore, or maybe it's stalling, or maybe, you know, because we look at you and say, you know, you've always been a legend. How could it ever? But
every single day. What am I doing here?
Oh, my God.
Why am I doing this? Oh, my God. And, you know, I mean, my husband hears it all the time, so
yeah.
it's always
it's
that.
It's a constant battle, yeah.
It's a constant battle even when you're working.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm doing this part. It's not very good, is it? Is it very good? No. But I'll try something else. I mean, you go through so many things. But the thing that you always have is the joy of what you do.
Right.
Because in the end, you forget, you know, reality. Mm-hmm. I'll only go as a tourist.
Right.
I mean, that was written.
Yeah.
So you go on the stage and it's another world. So that's the joy and that's your passion. And no matter what it is, if you're a bricklayer, if that's your passion, do it.
Yeah.
I don't believe in retirement. You're asking the wrong person because I know people retire now. I say, what do you play golf? You go to the beach, you do this, you do that. And then what do? No.
Yeah.
No, I just don't believe it. And maybe because I started so early.
Mm. Yeah.
No, that's all I knew.
Right. That's part of your life.
Yeah.
What do you look for in your fellow storytellers? What do you look for in another actor?
In another actor? I don't really look for anything. If they move me or I'm glued to them or something magical happens, then that's it. Mm-hmm. If I'm thinking, oh, God, they're working too hard, they shouldn't do that, they've chosen the wrong song, if my brain starts going, no.
Yeah.
And it's just me. You know, I mean, people love certain people, and it's not everybody. But I know that if I'm sitting in an audience and somebody wonderful is on the stage, I love it. And even people, you know, that are my age and do what I do, if they're terrific, they're terrific.
What do you look for in a director?
Oh, that's hard. Because there's no rules here. A director has to reach your subconscious or let you alone so that you can find it. Dan Sullivan is one of the best, Jack O'Brien. They know how to get to you. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful thing. Otherwise, you feel like you're in a classroom. And I don't like to feel like I'm in a classroom.
You've done a lot of standing by.
Yeah.
That's an art in itself.
Hard. I don't want to do it now. Somebody offered me something. I said, no, not at this age, not now. I'll wait for a part. Thank you.
Would you explain to our listeners exactly what does a standby do?
You have to learn everything, very little rehearsal, and you can go on at a moment's notice and never have a chance to do it and
with
be
actors.
With actors.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awful.
Are you required to be at the theater every night?
Yes, most of the time, yeah.
And just wait until...
Wait or watch it every night, yeah. Some people have to watch it all the time.
The last time you stood by, was it mornings at 7?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had a difficult time there, but, you know, they were very good actors and it was a wonderful play. But I was glad that it was over.
How do you make it work when you're having a difficult time?
I think you have to do your best to relax, breathe.
Are you into yoga or meditation? Or
I I'm into breathing, a lot of breathing, whatever that means. I just sit and I relax and I think of a place that I want to be and just breathe. And so maybe that's, you know, when I was, you know, maybe that's meditation, my meditation. Everybody has their own.
You're still auditioning.
I think probably always I'll be auditioning.
About, 10 years ago, The Wedding Singer was going, the musical of The Wedding Singer was coming to Broadway. How did you hear about that? Was it just a regular audition? Was your agents like, hey, there's this part, but here you go. Here's the secret.
I was.
Hamilton hadn't started yet, so rapping on stage wasn't exactly the biggest thing in the world.
No, and I...
And here's Rita.
I turned it down to begin with.
Did you really?
No, this is what happened.
Because that was an awesome moment in theater when you rap that song. That, amazing.
Thank you. I was doing The Foreigner. And my agent said, listen, they're doing The Wedding Singer, and you come and audition for it. They're doing a reading. So they sent me the music. It was such dirty lyrics.
Yes, it is.
And I said, you know something? I've seen the movie. I don't want to get on the stage and say all that. You know why? Because it's not this character. I can't do it.
Uh-huh.
Tell them no. So somebody else did it, and they did the workshop and whatever. And my agent called a couple of months later and said, now Bernie Telsey, very nice man, says you have to come and audition. They fixed the song. It's not the same. Blah, blah, blah. I'm sending you the song. Get an accompanist and come and audition. And I thought, or Bernie Telsey will never speak to you again.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So I did, and I walked in, and I didn't care. That's when you get everything, when you don't care.
So
in
true.
Life, when you don't care, you know, I'm not going to speak about what's happening now in this world. But the thing is, I said, okay, and I was reading, and this was a very flirty person, you know, and I sat on someone's lap, and I sang, and I got up, and I left, and I didn't even get home, but my husband called, and he said, you got this. And I got, and they said, if she does this big workshop, she has the part.
Incredible.
That's what happened.
And did you grow to enjoy the rapping of the
song?
Well,
the thing is, then I had a song called Eight Men, and they cut that.
Okay.
Eight Men?
It's called Eight Men.
Oh.
I still have the music.
I bet.
And they cut that, but then they put in the rap number, so...
Nice.
There was it. And yes, I enjoyed it.
Big reaction. The audience loved it.
It was wonderful.
Come on. Every
and,
night.
And I had a great Kevin. I worked with Kevin, and he was wonderful. And I think I realized that, oh, my God, who cares? I'll just do it. And again, you know, my agent was terrific. Tim got me a great contract.
Who is your agent, by the way?
Oh, it's BRS Gage.
Yes.
Oh, yes, of
Mark
course.
Mark Rodante and all the... I love them. But Tim left. But at that time, he was the one who got the contract and whatever. But I was lucky. You know, he was very good, and the rest of the agents are too.
Yeah.
When does Much More, a tribute to Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt, get premiered?
I think it'll probably be in the spring. Because I've been asked to do something for HB, where I work.
Oh, HB
and
Studios.
And a musical thing that they have, and said, would I do it? So I'm in the middle of...
Wonderful.
You know, thinking about it.
Great.
That.
And at the Metropolitan Room, I'm assuming?
No, this would be... where would I do...
Much More.
Oh, Much More. It's either there or 54 Below, whichever.
Come to 54 Below. Or anywhere. We'll take you anywhere.
Oh, really? Thank you.
You want to set up in Times Square with a boombox.
Oh, wow. Well, that's so nice of you. How nice. How sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you. And we so appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, it was fun. And you know what? I didn't realize I had done so much.
Good.
You reminded me. And I said, Jesus, right, I did that. You do this very well.
Well, thank you, Rita.
And I know talent.
It's a
– Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.